Ken.
Mr. Gontage, for your fall.
I decided that I would be looking for survivors, surviving families. I became very friendly with four other boys, same age as me, who survived, and we decided we'll go together. We're all from Poland. Two of them were from Lodz, from my own town. So we decided to ask permission from this camp to leave, and we wanted originally to go to back to Poland to see the place where we were born. That is the obvious place where perhaps some of the survivors might go. But we were stopped just before we left, and we were told that it is better if we stay within the displaced person camp altogether. They wanted to get all our names, where we lived, and they wanted to start a register of the survivors, which I could see it makes sense. And we decided to stay there. And we stayed in this particular displaced person camp in Wels, under very good both medical and food and everything. You know, they didn't give us too much food at the beginning because it wouldn't do us any good. They had to get us used to food because we were sat at a table, maybe 20 of us, you know, at the big table, and they would give us food and they'd put bread. And before we realized, the bread emptied and it wasn't going into our mouths, it was put into our pockets because we thought it's not going to be there anymore, you know. And we were told and pleaded with, don't rush, don't eat too much, you're going to kill yourself, you know. You've got to take it easy. And some of them did because they just couldn't control it. They were so hungry, they've never seen food, they just overate and got into trouble, either became very ill or died. You know, there were still people dying after. I think I must have been sensible, and I behaved myself. I got to know these other three guys, were four of us all together, and we decided we'll make our own little family for the time being. We are the family, and we'll, until we find our real family, we'll be together. So we were looking after each other. After they've registered everybody, and people became more civilized in the camp after a few weeks, then we decided we would venture out. And we went to a place called in Austria, there's a big camp, we were told about it, Salzburg. We've registered there in Salzburg, and we were supposed to stay there until they eventually would take us to Palestine. That was before Israel. They were going to take us to Palestine. Palestine at that time was still restricted. The Jewish people couldn't enter in, only a certain quarter. We didn't know all that. All this was coming to us, you know, life went on. So we would be taken, this is how they told us, we would be taken to Italy in big transports, and we would go to Bari, await transport to Palestine, and every week the so many would go. So I and these friends of mine volunteered for it, and after a few weeks we went to Italy, to Bari. And while we were there, I received news that I had a sister who survived Bergen-Belsen. So, of course, I don't ask anybody's question. I just hit back for Germany. And I go to Bergen-Belsen. And I found my sister through the Jewish organization there. And I'm the happiest guy. At least I've got one member of the family
Which sister was this?
That was the only sister I had, Sarah. She survived in Bergen-Belsen. So we went from there, we decided we'll go to another camp. When I'm talking about camps now, the old displaced person camps, they are not concentration camps anymore. We'll go to Feldafing, that is near Munich, because I had another friend of mine who went there, and we all wanted to go together, and from there we would make our way to Palestine. And my sister, there was a particular time that the Jewish people were not permitted to travel by train because of certain behavior that we, you know, that towards the Germans, because obviously we had good reason. And the way we behaved to the Germans, the Americans had to bring some order, so they didn't allow us to travel by train. But they arranged, Loris, if we wanted to go to Munich.
You mean the Jews were taking revenge against the Germans?
Against the Germans, yes.
Did you participate in that?
Yes, we all did. We all did. It was sweet.
What exactly did
the
you do?
The only thing I'm sorry about, I didn't do more. Anything. Throw them off trains. Wherever I thought that I can take advantage of beating them, we would. There was one particular instance, that was in Austria still, before that the four of us, before we went to the displaced person camp, you know, from the first camp, we stayed in stables, and there was a German officer hiding there. We found him. And we did exactly the same as they did to us. We tied him to a tree and we shot him. And at that time, if you say to me now to do it, no way could I. But at that time, it was sweet. I enjoyed it. There was no other satisfaction at that time that any of us could have had. And I'll tell you now, I challenge any person in a similar situation who would not have enjoyed it. I know a lot of them will say now, oh, I couldn't do it, I wouldn't do it, I wouldn't do it. All I would say to them, they have never found themselves in this situation. In the situation we were, it was sweet. It was perhaps the only thing that it might have been worse to survive the war, to be able to do that.
So he was an army officer?
He was an army officer, yes. And the satisfaction was great.
So,
and those things were happening in Feldafing a lot. And I think I can see the point that they made, the Americans. They had to bring order. So that,
so you couldn't travel by train?
Yes, they had to ask us to... They supplied transport for us. The transport they supplied was pretty good. But there were wagons, lorries going to Munich. This is where we, you know, had to go to the big city from Feldafing. And my sister and a few friends of hers were in one of this transport, and they met with an unfortunate accident. The lorry fell down an embankment, and there were 8 people killed. My sister was amongst them. This was just a few months after the war. So that was my second knock. She survived the war. And after that, frankly, I lost interest. Where I would go, what would happen to me, I lost interest. Until a few weeks later, life has to go on. I started searching again for the family. I couldn't find anybody. And I decided to go by myself to Palestine. That was always on my mind. There was nowhere else I could go. But while I'm still deciding, and I was other people, I was found by an auntie of mine who lives in England. I didn't know her name because it was through my mother's side. She found me, and she eventually got me over to England. And that was it.
Just going back a bit, can you tell me what chances there were of escape from the either the concentration camp from the concentration camps?
Very, very grim. There were certain escapes. I would say a small proportion of a percent would manage to escape. But had they, if they escaped, where would they escape to? So there were two things. First of all, it was impossible because you have to go through electric wires. And if you managed to get through the electric wires, you'd be shot because there'd be a guard on the post every few hundred yards. And at night, there would be torches. But the only time or chance you had to escape is like my brother, from what I've heard, did, is on a transport to work, when they've taken him out to work, to get out, to run away. And he was shot. But if someone would have managed to escape, where would he have gone? That is another problem. We were still in Auschwitz, we were still in hostile territory, either German or Polish. As a Jew, we would not have been accepted anywhere. Had we run, managed to escape, gone to a farm, that farmer would not have wanted to take even the risk. Even if it was a sympathetic person, whether he was German or Polish, I don't know, but he would not have wanted to take the risk because his family would be at risk. He would more certainly give me away.
Did you ever observe punishments inflicted on Jews by the Germans?
Yes. Going back to the ghetto, there would be punishment by just deliberate beating, coming in at random, taking out people and beating them and burning their beards. There were cases where there were hangings almost every day in the square, and they were rounding up people to go and watch these hangings for various reasons, I don't know, but it can all be petty things. And they were hanged in ones, in threes, in sixes, or whatever. And we were forced to watch. We had to look at it, and there were machine guns in the back. If we would have wanted to walk away, we would be shot. In fact, certain people did walk away. They couldn't watch it. They would be shot down.
What do you think were the worst things that happened to you during all this period?
The worst experience I had was to watch babies, infants, being thrown in lorries, one after the other, in hundreds. And I don't think any human being should ever be made to watch that. That was the worst. After that, everything else was nothing. They were taken just by the hand like you take a chicken, you know. You just slung onto the what's name. The screams, it's unbelievable. The screams from the parents, from the babies, from the children, from the onlookers, all except those who were doing it. They were enjoying it. They were laughing. The smiles on the face was all over.
What do you think all these horrific experiences have had on you, both in your attitudes and physically?
Thank God, I don't feel any effects. I don't think that I have any, apart from nightmares, which they often occur. I've got used to them. But That, I would say, is perhaps because I am a survivor, and that's why I'm still alive. That the effects have not had such a bad effect on me, the experiences, rather, have not had such a bad effect on me as they would have had on other people, on the people who didn't survive.
So you haven't had any serious illnesses as a result since?
I don't think so. Not that I've known. My life, I would say, thank God, was reasonably healthy. I'm enjoying a reasonable, healthy life now.
I did comment earlier, off the tip, on the fact that although you're 59 years old, and although obviously you've got white hair, you look actually younger than your years, even though you've been through these very trying experiences.
That's right. Well, all I can put it down to is that because I am that type of a person, that I have survived, that I have held myself all the time with hope and want the will to live. And I've not allowed the experiences to affect my future life. I am a very happy man now. I've got two children, as you can see, bless them. I've been married for 29 years now, and my life is quite organized.
Do you feel any bitterness because of what you've been through?
Bitterness to who? To the Germans or to, in general?
To anybody at all, including the Germans?
No, only to the Germans. I don't feel bitterness, or I don't feel that anyone owes me anything. No. I feel, yes, bitterness to the Germans. I cannot forgive them. I don't think that any of us can. I have never told my children to hate them. It is entirely up to them how they feel about it. But I cannot forgive them or forget.
What about the Poles?
I am not even keen on the Poles, because I think the Poles themselves could have done a lot more. They could have helped. They did not. Also, I must say that there are some Poles here in England now that I associate myself with, perhaps in business and so on, but I don't look at them as the Pole in Poland. Because in Poland, when I lived, when I was a kid, I was frightened to, if I seen someone on one side of the street, a group of, I would run on the other. So I must say I've not got, any tolerance for the Poles either. I think I've been persecuted by the Poles initially and by the Germans after. You must realize, when the Germans came into Lodz, I only know Lodz, that's where I lived, that was my home, the atrocities there were carried out more by the Poles than the Germans themselves. The Germans had it easy. All the Germans had to do was give the orders. The Poles were the ones who did the spade work. And they didn't do it only to save their own lives. They volunteered.
How were you received in England in 45?
Fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. When I came to England, and I came in 1947, by the way. I came after the main transport. Also, I came to a relative here. But the support and everything else that I got from England and the English people was fantastic. And I'm still, up to now, grateful for England. So as far as I'm concerned, this is my country.
I think that once you were in the displaced persons camps, you met Eisenhower, did you?
Yes, in Felderfing. This was before I left for England. We were in displaced person camp, living in poor conditions, because we took over barracks that were army barracks before. And Eisenhower, on one occasion, I remember, Eisenhower came there with his commanders, and he looked at the camp, and he looked at us, and he stood in the middle of the camp there, and he gave orders for us to, he says, you should not live in those conditions. He says, see all these German people live in the villas, beautiful villas they have there in Feldafing, live in those villas. You go and take them, and we will stand by you. Well, he didn't have to say it twice. You know what the rest was with it. And again, that was sweet. That was before, just before they decided that they didn't want us to travel on the train, because that started off in a way, you know, Zoda, because our behavior all of a sudden became not tolerant to them. They couldn't, they had to bring order into the camp. So they decided that they would, for a time anyway, not allow us going on the train. And that's when it happened, when my sister got killed.
So what Eisenhower said was a kind of green light.
He gave us the green light. That is exactly the word. He gave us the green light, and we took it, and we went through it.